503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Thank you for listening online. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you. The 503 Report at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
Each year, the American Cancer Society estimates the number of new cases of cancer that occur in the United States. For this year, the 2015 year, they are estimating 1.7 million new cases. During the years of 1991 to 2011, the overall fatality rate fell from 215 per 100,000 to only 169 per 100,000, a decrease of 22%. Cancer is the second leading cause of death in the United States and is expected to surpass heart disease as the leading cause in the next 2 years. And the reason I'm talking about that is because of this. Ever since Dr. Gordy Clatt, a colorectal surgeon, wanted to enhance the income for his local American Cancer Society office in Tacoma, Washington, the Relay for Life has been going strong for 30 years. The first year, Dr. Clatt, by himself and some friends, walked for 24 hours for more than 83 miles. And 30 years ago, they raised $27,000 for cancer. Reason I'm bringing it up, this weekend here in Northeastern California, starting tomorrow at 3 o'clock at our own high school here, from 3 until 7 tomorrow, the next day, the Relay for Life is celebrating 10 years of Northeastern California here, and 93 JDX will be broadcasting live over there. If you'd like to have a team, it's free. If you'd like to enter, just go out there and walk and to donate, to help out, all help is welcome. Get a hold of Cheryl at 253-3979. Get a hold of Tammy at 253-3893 or Sandy at 253-3507. Cancer, second leading cause of death in America, soon to be number one, and nobody wants that distinction. 1.7 million cases a year. But like I said, in the past 20 or so years, the rate of mortality has gone down 22%. So with everybody out there in small towns across this great nation of ours getting together tomorrow for a great cause, you can help and help bring that down. One of these days we'd like to see it eradicated. But folks, get out there and help the Relay for Life. With me as always, joining me today, my good friend to my right, Mr. Andrew Wellborn. Buddy, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. You know, it's a great day in America. It's wonderful to live in America. It's wonderful to live into a small town in America, especially up here in Northern California. I mean, most folks, you know, when you think about California, I mean, just like myself as a young man when I came out from Texas out here to the West Coast, you know, people used to ask me all the time, well, what brought you to California? And I used to respond, well, Baywatch, you know? So, you know, small town America, small town California, it does exist up here in Northern California. And you're right, man, big event coming up this weekend, and we want to encourage everybody that's up here locally, especially up here in Northeastern California, to participate. Because look, the bottom line is this: you know, cancer research comes from volunteers, and it comes funding from you, whether it be someone who makes a donation to a institute for the purpose of the research, or dare I say that nasty subsidy that most of my libertarian friends totally disagree with when it comes to any type of as, say, the use of tax dollars for the purpose of any type of research out there. So, yes, great, great weekend ahead of us. Hopefully the weather's going to be good. And, folks, like you said, Tim, get out there and participate, because this is probably one of the greater of greatest causes out there. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, Tim, as you know, we are where America's voice is heard.
What a vision that surgeon back in 1985 had. He wanted to just help out his local community. And I bring up that because our local community here, Andrew, and listeners up and down California, they hear us talking about it all the time. And I talked with a couple of ladies, Cheryl and Tammy, yesterday. Here is the community, no matter what is happening in the last 6 or 7 years, Andrew, the economy hasn't been the greatest here, not just in California, but in the United States. But small towns throughout California and the United States, they rally around whatever it is for the kids, for whatever it happens to be. They will find a way. They will find money. They will dig deep into their pockets to help out. And he raised $27,000 30 years ago. You know, it sure would be nice if we can get, you know, that kind of money just here locally, because the money is going to get funneled into that research.
Well, like I said, you know, participation is what makes things work, whether it be volunteering in a small town for a great event like this coming this weekend, or, you know, I'm going to get right there to it, participating in your vote when it comes to the same type of movement. You know, voting is a form of participation that needs to come up a little bit. And I have to tell you, and I was having a good discussion with a good friend of ours, Doug. I know you're out there listening in that van, buddy. You know, look, I mean, Donald Trump, and we'll get into this on the bottom part of the show, might be the individual that might excite people. Maybe there's a reason why the Democrats, I think, are beginning to scramble a little bit with Hillary Clinton and other candidates, perhaps, because of the movement that Donald Trump is doing. You know, Donald Trump may be reviving a voter base that has not turned out in a long time. And I'll get more specifically in that at the bottom part of the show, Tim.
Andrew, we were talking about nonprofit groups and organizations, and they were trying to get a tax initiative on the 2016 ballot. And this week, lo and behold, the California Assemblies and the legislature, they did find $28 million for a lot of those nonprofit groups out there. So that is nice to see. It's not going to take care of everything, but hopefully we won't get another surcharge. I mean, tax initiative on the 2016 ballot.
Well, you know what? Look, I mean, hold on now. I mean, you know, $28 million. Look, I mean, that's taxpayer dollars. I mean, once again, is that the purpose of the legislature? Is that the purpose of the government to, you know, take the tax dollar out of your pocket, folks, and then give it to some of these nonprofit groups? Maybe you don't like these nonprofit groups. Maybe you don't approve of these nonprofit groups. Look, there are many people out there in the country, believe it or not, don't approve of research for cancer, utilizing the tax dollars, the public funds for research for cancer, for goodness sake. So, I mean, look, I mean, as far as the government actually providing that money to nonprofit organizations, I don't really think that sets well with me personally, Tim. I got to tell you that.
That's okay, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I just like to bring it to the attention of everybody, because we talked about it last week and things are already happening. You mentioned Donald Trump, and I'd like to get into that probably more in depth, but boy, I think coming up on Thursday, that is going to be the most watched debate ever. That is going to be incredible.
Well, we know that, and I think it's going to be great, and we'll get into it on the bottom part of the show. There's some things that I think that I'd like to hear Donald Trump say, and if he were to say it, you know, I think he would just, you know, skyrocket to the moon in the polls. And so, great debate coming up. And of course, you know, we don't have to encourage people to watch. I think people are going to set their DVRs. I would not be surprised.
Absolutely.
I would not be surprised going into a sports bar and actually seeing that debate possibly up there on those screens. That's how intense, I think, how electrifying I think it might be.
You know, in the last couple of months, we've been talking about initiatives that have to do with marijuana maybe coming forth in 2016. And our newsman here at the Sierra Radio Net has been talking about that. And Plumas County, our sister county over there, has been getting hit pretty hard with the amount of fines that they have, upwards of $10 to $20 million worth of plants over there. While Lassen County area, where we broadcast out of, has been relatively untouched, but he says it's been coming up from the Butte County into Plumas County, and eventually it's going to get up here. And we know that happens. We hear that all the time from hunters when they go out in our great area up here and they find things, and they bring it to the attention of the local police and the sheriff's department out there. But our sister county over there in Plumas County having quite a tough time right now.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, let's face it, regardless, marijuana is still federally illegal. And regardless of our thoughts on this, regardless of how many initiatives we want to put on the state, the bottom line is that marijuana, folks, is federally illegal. And so the state is breaking the law. The state is actually putting a law on the books that is breaking federal law. So you're subject to that. And, you know, I would like to maybe see a little bit of federal enforcement out here in California. I mean, we started out doing it pretty well under the Obama administration. He came out pretty tough against some of these dispensaries and these distributors, yeah. You know, in the beginning. So, you know, maybe as something as the people of California, we can demand. Maybe we should take a look at demanding the federal government actually doing its job, not only enforcing the border across this nation, but maybe enforcing the federal law as it pertains to a Federal One schedule, Federal One narcotic.
Are they going to do that in the last couple of years of this administration, Andrew? Do you foresee maybe something like that happening? Is the president going to do something like that?
No, I doubt it. You know, the bottom line is this. He only has one campaign promise left to finish. And, you know, closing Gitmo is it for him at this point. He's got 18 months to do it, more than likely. He looks like, I don't see anything that's going to prevent him from actually achieving that goal. At some point in time, probably the next 18 months, you'll see all of the detainees out there in Gitmo. They're going to be released somewhere. They're going to be placed somewhere. And so that accomplishment is going to be accomplished by the president, and he's going to fulfill that campaign promise.
And just Lord help whoever it is, because the worst of the worst are what's left out there.
Yeah, that's all. We can only preach so much, you know, to the rest of the world as far as what we have, you know, what we have trapped there.
Absolutely.
Okay, folks, time for something you may not know across America, across California. The year is 30 BC. Ready? The Battle of Alexandria. Mark Antony achieves a minor victory over Octavian's forces, but most of his army, as we know, if you've seen the movie, subsequently they desert, leading to his suicide. Great point there. 1864. Ready? Ulysses S. Grant is named the general of the volunteers. 1912. United States government prohibits movies and photos, prize fights. In other words, that was censorship. And then, of course, in 1932. Ready? George Washington Quarter goes into circulation.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, back with the half-hour show right after this.
Live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains, it's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you, Stan. Welcome back, everybody. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, heard every Friday right after the news here on 1240 KSU and live in SierraDailyNews.com. And catch our broadcasts and our podcasts at 503report.com. Where America's voice is heard.
I got to tell you, you know, we had a great time. Me and my girl, we went over to Plumas County, and we really enjoyed the event known as Midsummer Madness that was held over there on behalf of the Rotary Club of Chester and the Elks Lodge over there at Bailey Creeks Golf Club. I have to tell you, we really enjoyed that. It was a great cause. You know, I ended up spending a little bit more money than I really wanted to spend. But, you know, like I said, it's all for a great cause. This is one of those real, real important ones that goes for the kids, you know, when you need to open up your pocketbook a little bit outside of the taxes. So anyways, appreciate it. Had a great time. I want to encourage folks to take a look at it for next year. It really was a top-notch event. Hello, folks. Andrew Welborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, Tim, as you know, we are where America's voice is heard.
And we are, and kudos to that event over there. Just one other great reason that small towns across this great nation of ours are the best, and we were talking about that early. And it is Friday. It's our favorite day of the week. You know, we're starting to get in the dog days of summer, Andrew, mm-hmm. and we're seeing some initiatives and things going on in and around California, but politically, you know, on national scene, you know, we're going to have a big debate coming up here next week. There's a lot going on there.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm going to start the show off with a statement here real quick. You know, I'm kind of upset. locally about an issue that has occurred with one of our local providers, our local doctors up here. I mean, good Lord, we don't have that many doctors as it is. And for the state government to come up here and actually set up some entrapments, I just don't appreciate the state government coming up here and taking a look at one of our doctors, especially with what they are trying to charge one of our local doctors with up here. I mean, look, I mean, good Lord, man. I mean, if you want to look at anything, DOJ, DEA, look at the marijuana 215 prescriptions, for goodness sakes. I mean, if you want to tell me that those are being issued at a legitimate level, are you kidding me? You know, that is a Schedule 1 narcotic versus some of these alleged Schedule 2 narcotics. So, you know, me and my wife, me and my girl, we want to wish the best to the family of this doctor up here. He's a good friend of ours. He's a pillar of the community. And anything we can do for him, I just want to let him know that we, at least Andrew Wellborn from the 503 Report, is here for him.
You know, it's you hit it right on the head. You know, maybe the left is, that's what they're going after doctors like that. And forget all about the marijuana and the class one narcotic on that. It blows the mind. The man has been here forever. I've been here 35 years. The man has been here before that.
Well, it's a local issue that has to deal with a statewide movement. You know, I mean, you want to come up here and come on, don't you have bigger things to do in the bigger communities down in California? You know, where really, really there are true violations that are going on. So anyways, that's all I got to say about that. Okay, well, it looks like, you know, it's kind of interesting because it seems like that California State Senator Richard Pan is under a little pressure right now with a possible recall because of his support and authorship of Senate Bill 277. If you recall, Tim, that was the vaccination bill that requires all students to be vaccinated prior to entering into the public schools. And, you know, I did not realize, I got to be honest, folks, did not realize that this was quite the debate when it came to vaccination. Of course, you know, I grew up being vaccinated as a young kid coming up through the school systems, and I just didn't realize that it was that big of a deal. But obviously, Senator Pan, Democrat out of Sacramento, has figured that out.
You know, he has, and that kind of hits close to home a little bit with me. I have a daughter in the medical profession, and she is with a new child, and she's really looking at that and herself and what she wants to do for her family. Don't dictate. Let the parents choose what they want to do, especially she's in the medical profession.
Well, how long has this been a point of controversy in California, if not the rest of the nation, when it comes to vaccination? Are they looking to do something other than the normal measles, the normal chicken pox and things like that? I mean, I don't know. I don't have children in the system. But if that's the case, I mean, it just really wasn't clear to me as far as, you know, an alternative version or maybe an additional two. I didn't know if they were trying to put, you know, birth control in there for the young ladies or anything like that, anything that controversial.
Open-ended.
It was open-ended. Okay. Yeah. You know, according to our good friend, Mr. Darren Parvin, he's hanging out with us here today. Darren, great to have you here. We appreciate you coming in. And so I guess maybe that is it. Was it open-ended? I guess that is the scare. But
very ambiguous, Andrew.
Yeah. You know, I guess Senator Pan has figured that out. But obviously, it's that big of a deal if the Democrats are actually looking to collect signatures to recall him out of that state.
My goodness, absolutely.
I have to tell you, you know, look, a new poll came out. New poll came out here in California, not surprisingly, that most of Californians support and understand or believe in global warming policies out here in California. Now, you know, I was looking at that poll, came out with the Public Policy Institute of California, and you know, the percentages are high, and then I guess, you're always going to be able to challenge the sampling.
Sure.
And how many people were polled. I mean, we really don't know exactly. But look, I mean, the bottom line is this. Yeah, and in utopia, yeah, it's a perfect world. Yeah, we're going to support a little bit of global warming policies. You know, it seems like the majority, almost 80%, would support the majority of energy produced in California coming from an alternative source. Yeah. I mean, once again, you know, I mean, you can believe that, you can want that. We've seen recently where, you know, California Senate Pro Tem Kevin DeLeon has introduced passed legislation, mandating that in the legislature. But then again, I mean, it comes down to the old cliche, you know, want in one hand, spit in the other. Which one's going to fill up first, realistically? I mean, you know, the bottom line is this: we can mandate this up to a degree, but how's it going to be done?
It is, you know, and our governor Jerry Brown just went overseas, and I believe he was in the Vatican and over in Italy, and he was in Rome, and he was taunting that, calling it the number one priority for everybody in the world is the global warming and the effects of that.
Well, I just want to know why we're covering Jerry Brown in Rome.
mean, it's a slow news month, Andrew.
I got to tell you, you know, we're struggling here a little bit today trying to find stuff to talk about. You know, we'll get back on the national level here real quick, but there's not a lot going on in California as it should be. As we mentioned last week, thank God for the summer because that's when the legislature is not in session. All right, well, it looks like we do have a call on the line. Welcome to 503 Report. Thanks for joining the conversation. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Right.
Well, I have a statement. What happens, let's say we get the state of Jefferson, and the state of Jefferson representatives decide that taxes were the only remedy to solve problems that won't come up through, like, commercial business and that. What happens then? Do we decide that we need another state? Do we waste more tax dollars on another state that is not needed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, it's one of the points that I kind of make off air all the time. I mean, look, I mean, you can divide the state. You can have the state of Jefferson. You can have Northern California. But anybody who thinks that, you know, that tax is not going to be there, Cole is absolutely right. I think that's what he was implying. The bottom line is the taxes are going to be there in particular. I mean, nothing's going to change. Your tax structure will change up here in California. But I think the movement is about, you know, at least representing those dollars. And I don't think the state of Jefferson has got that avocation. And when you talk to the organizers for the state of Jefferson out here in California, I don't hear anything that indicates that they believe that the taxes are going to disappear. It's just that, you know, we're going to have more direct representation over where those tax dollars go.
And Andrew, we also might have more avenues to have tax dollars coming in to that state of Jefferson, where in California right now they are driving a lot of businesses to other states across the United States. And maybe in that state, you know, that'd be something that the leadership or the people of that movement could say. But one would think that the tax dollars in the base and more money would be available to that area, with businesses staying in that area, would be available, and so it might not be as bad for the local taxpayers.
Well, I mean, look, I have a discussion with a few people. Look, I mean, change the name. I mean, Northern California, if I hear any opposition to the movement up here in Northern California, is the name Jefferson. Most people do not, you know, they don't, you know, relate or identify with Jefferson. You know, people out here are Californians. They like the idea of Northern California. So that name, I think, would give them a little bit more traction. But, you know, when it comes down to this, yeah, I mean, the bottom line is the business would stay up here in Northern California for the most part. And, you know, like I said, I think the money and the taxes would be, you know, directly represented up here in the north. And, of course, we get to choose and have more input as far as where they do go. Okay, we do have another call online. Welcome to 503 Report. Thanks for joining the conversation. What's on your mind today?
Well, thank you. One thing the state of Jefferson or Northern California wouldn't have are 571 regulatory agencies that we're dealing with now. And I'll hang up and get your comments.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, that's a great point. We might not have 581, but we may have 233, you know, because a lot of those agencies are still booked up here, and you'd have those agencies. I mean, the bottom line is regulatory agencies are not going to go away. I mean, maybe I'm being too bold there. I mean, I think in a perfect world, we would like to think that members of a legislature of Northern California would not give their power away to an enforcement regulatory agency. But when it comes down to it, regulatory agencies are a must. I mean, no matter what. But the problem is this: regulatory agencies are too emboldened. I mean, good Lord, did we see what was going on with the Internal Revenue Service? You see the director of the Internal Revenue Service, his discontent towards Congress. He's almost in contempt of Congress every time he talks. And, you know, for a regulatory agency to believe that they can lobby against a piece of legislation that is going to change the way they operate, to me, that is absurd.
If you'd like to join the conversation, 257-TALK, 8255-8256 out of the area. Toll free, 1-866-882-1277.
Chamber of Commerce 70th Annual Fair Parade, Farm to Fair, is Saturday, August 15th at 10 a.m. Parade entry form deadline is August 3rd, and they are available at quincychamber.com and at the Quincy Chamber of Commerce office inside Plumas Bank, 336 Main Street, Quincy. Questions? Call 283-0188 or email quincychamber@yahoo.com. This message a community service of your favorite radio station.
If you are seeking an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting in Lassen, Plumas, and Modoc counties, you can call 877-880-2880 or 530-257-2880 to find a meeting near you or to speak with a local AA member. Again, that's 887-880-2880 or 257-2880. This message, a community service of your favorite radio station.
The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUE or Sierra Broadcasting Company, and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
Okay, California and America, time for something you may or you may not know. Today's date, July 31st, the year is 1942. Another tragic event, the German SS gases 1,000 Jews in Minsk, Belarus. Apollo 15 in 1971, the astronauts take a 6.5-hour electric car ride on the moon. Man, excellent, excellent. Man, I just love I love astronaut news when it comes out, obviously. 1972, the Cloudy bombing. 9 civilians were killed when 3 car bombs exploded in County Londonderry, North Ireland. No group has since claimed the responsibility for those poor people. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And Tim, as you know, we are where America's voice is heard.
It is Friday. It is our favorite day of the week, and you can hear us live at sierradailynews.com. Don't forget about our website, 503 Report, where America's voice is heard, for any of the past shows, Andrew as well.
Well, we're going to start trumping. I wish we had some trumpets, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the bottom line is this. Oh, good Lord, it's great. It's exciting times right now. Trump is really, really beginning to, he's beginning to shake it up, as we've been talking about. I'm convinced that the Ross Perot factor is not going to be here with him, hopefully. And this debate coming up, I tell you what, I think I pity the fools, you know, the quote, I pity the fools. I pity the fools, man, on that stage are thinking that they're going to attack him on any issue. And if they do attack him, boy, they better be ready, because the bottom line is that guy's going to be fast. He's going to come back. I pity anybody that brings up his past Democrat Party contribution or Democrat candidate contribution, and I pity the fool that's up there that has received any type of contribution on their behalf from him in the past also.
One thing I would really like to say about that, and I thought it's probably going to be the most DVR'd thing ever, because I have to work on that day, and I'm going to watch that later, but I really hope that the 10 candidates, because there are going to be 10 candidates there, the other ones are going to be on a broadcast before him, but the top 10 in the Republican polls are going to be out there. I hope they use their time wisely. I hope Fox, when they broadcast it, and they ask a question, those people answer those questions. Just don't go and say, well, this is what Donald Trump is going to do. That is your time to talk about you, not about him.
Well, we're talking with our good friend Doug, man, and I got to tell you, I think that Donald Trump is going to revive some old voters, and I think that's what the Democrats are most scared about, because individuals who have not gone to the polls for years, maybe, you know, several election cycles, you know, could be re-energized to actually show up and vote, and it could be the Trump factor, I think, is very, very big. All Donald Trump has got to do to respond to his contributions to past Democrats is real simple. All he's got to do is say, well, that's how you had to get business. That's how you had to get things done in order to build something. Look at all the great things that he's built. All that had to come from him lining the pockets of Democrats, lining the pockets of politicians. And I think if he takes that approach and he begins to expose that corruption, that, I believe, is what America is hungry for. And of course, he is not a stock market guy. As you see, the stock market is kind of like going left and right and left, up and down.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they have got no direction. Everybody knows that he doesn't believe in the stock market. He believes that the game is fixed. And most importantly, Wall Street knows that they cannot buy him off. Okay, we do have a call on the line. Welcome to 503 Report. Thanks for joining the conversation. What is on your mind today?
Hi, guys.
Hey, Violet.
Same old crap. Can you guys get Trump to come here? And if this is changed to Jefferson, it isn't going to get rid of the prison and all the crap we put up with.
Nope.
So
nope.
What can we do?
Well, first of all, what we can do is we can petition Trump to come here. You know, would he come here? I doubt it. But I tell you what, boy, that would be kind of funny, actually, to see if we could get, you know, Donald Trump to come to Northeastern California. Can you imagine that plane landing in Reno? Oh, man, that'd be awesome. Now, as far as, you know, look, I mean, as far as what can we do, I mean, we vote. I mean, the bottom line is show up and vote. You know, Democrats out here in California are not in control because Democrats show up in droves. It's because Republicans fall off. You know, when it comes down to the Democrats don't have a majority out in California, as we say all the time. They have a populace, and so they depend on those independent, decline-to-state voters who come over. And Republicans are just terrible at the messaging, for goodness sakes. I mean, good Lord, I mean, we got a great opportunity right now. The California legislature, the Democrats are in disarray. You know, I mean, the bottom line out here is this. I mean, we've got two basically anti-state employee initiatives that are about to go to ballot. And what do we do as Republicans? I mean, we're going to headline the Republican convention in Southern California in September with Scott Walker, Governor Scott Walker, for goodness sakes. I mean, really? I mean, don't you think we're setting ourselves up to, as Republicans, possibly to see a little bit of protest outside of our convention halls, especially if Governor Scott Walker does show up out here? I got to tell you, man, I think we're missing, especially when it comes to possibly having an opportunity, since the Pension Reform Act is being moved forward by Democrats. We got a wonderful opportunity to reach out rather than try to tap into that. It's just very, very frustrating. Although we do have another call. Welcome to 503 Report. Thanks for joining the conversation. What's on your mind today?
Thanks again for the call, guys. Where was Donald Trump in these last election cycles when he was praising Hillary Clinton and the current president of the United States? Where was he at talking about immigration then? Now he's just the opportunist. That's all he is. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you know, some of those things, like anybody, you're going to have to answer any things you say on the past, you know, when it comes up. Believe you me, I think Donald's going to have an answer for it. And I got to tell you, Hillary Clinton is in trouble. You know,
the reluctant servant aspect of Donald Trump. You know, it's not his first choice of what he wants to do.
Well, I mean, you know,
he's
we're
feeling like he has to do it.
We're going, yeah, you know,
that's what he says.
That's a good point. I mean, the bottom line, no, he does not have to do it. You know, when you're worth that much money and to put yourself out there, you know, I think that possibly.
Oh, exposed to everybody, absolutely.
Only he knows why he's doing it, and he's going to have to portray the message. It's going to be the message. It's going to be the cue. You know, Donald Trump, I'm going to tell you right now, sir, if I was advising your campaign, stay out of the urban issues of the inner city. Cities, man. Don't bring up anything that has to do with urban inner cities. You're not going to be able to say it right. Stay on point with the economy. It's the economy, stupid. And I think that's what resonates. People want jobs. People want corporations to come back to America. People want the factories to reopen. And his plan to tax corporations who have left this country, I totally, believe it or not, I'm going to agree with it. I mean, I'd sit down with General Electric and I'd say, if I were president, I'd say the same thing. Look, General Electric, you're no longer a U.S. company. You've relocated 100% out of this nation. You are relocated into a communist potential enemy nation of ours in the future. Guess what? You know, you're no longer subject to the protections that you once, you know, relished in the United States. And I would make it so expensive. I would tell them right off the bat, we're going to tariff you guys. So to bring that toaster, it's going to be the most expensive toaster ever to come into Walmart. You know, you got to be tough like that. And I think middle America is ready for that toughness.
Andrew, if that were to happen in companies like that, were to get tariff like that, would we see an immediate change, an immediate relocation of those companies back here in the United States, or would it be a slow process?
Well, it's always going to be a slow process. I mean, you just can't immediately do it. You may see an immediate, what's the word I want to say? You may see them immediately initiate the process to bring themselves back over in the United States, or you may see them immediately begin to negotiate, you know, other things in lieu of those tariffs. But ultimately, it's just those are the decisions that leaders have got to make. And, you know, it's kind of funny because with Donald Trump, you know, I mean, Jeb Bush has got, what, $110 million, and Hillary Clinton has another 100 plus million. I mean, that's looking like Trump change as far as I'm concerned with, you know, the Donald coming in. So ultimately, back to Hillary Clinton, she is in trouble. You know, we boldly made the prediction immediately when the emails first came out that was going to be the big deal for her. that was going to be huge for her. You know, once again, I want to advise all our Republicans, just chill out. Let Congressman Trey Gowdy do his job in this hearing coming up. Don't get all crazy with maybe possibly that some emails, you know, gave out the location to Ambassador Christie. You know, look, the bottom line is this. Stay with where the bullet is. I mean, look, we got Al Capone on tax evasion. You know, so look at where the strength is. I mean, David Petraeus right now is a convicted, well, I mean, misdemeanor, I guess, you know, because he did negotiate that down. Look, Hillary Clinton is subject to some type, possibly, some type of criminal prosecution, just like, let's say our good friend from the great state of Texas, Governor,
Yeah.
You know, look, Rick Perry is in trouble, man. I mean, Rick Perry should just get off the stage, and I pity him if he tries to take on Donald Trump, if Rick Perry makes it to that stage. But back to Hillary Clinton. Look, Democrats are struggling right now. They're seeing the internal problems. They're seeing in the internal polling. They're seeing Hillary Clinton now beginning to lose to Jeb Bush in other states across this nation. And so without a doubt, yes, Joe Biden will jump in. That's all there is to it. Joe Biden will jump in.
I was going to say, Andrew, that's a name we have not really talked about, the Vice President of the United States. Almost a natural slide in for that. And he has not said anything, but boy, is he maybe taking a page out of the Republican, like you said, just stay back, let it play its course, and he could be, you know, their savior, maybe.
Well, he's the Vice President of the United States. I mean, think about it on the human aspect. Think about it on the ego aspect. Do we really think that Joe Biden, who has ran for president how many times, has served in the United States Congress for how many years, okay, is going to set aside as the Vice President for the Secretary of State, former First Lady of the United States, former one-term senator out of the state of New York from via Arkansas, actually, you know, interfere with his last opportunity? Because let's face it, Joe Biden, this is it for him. This would be the only shot left that Joe Biden would have to seek the presidency.
And I would think that he is going to probably play it out like that, and I think his people are probably going to advise him that way as well, Andrew.
Now, you know what? Look, I mean, here's the issue, man. With the assaults that are happening on traditional Americans, when assaults are happening across the nation with traditional marriage, per se, and social issues, and when middle Americans are now beginning to feel like that they're made to be the bad guys because of a minority, loud minority, I think that that is what is resonating with the American people when it comes to Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
You know, Tim and Andrew, thank you for having me. I'm Darren Parvin. I'm glad to have always been being welcome to come in and speak so where the America's voice is heard here on the 503 Report. That you had me come in on Good Friday 2013 and as a guest, and I was asked about the incoming Pope, and my comments, as I recall, were that as long as he's not going to depart from the traditions of the church and Christianity as a whole, it's going to be great. But in my concerns are, as a citizen and a free thinker, putting all things to the test, as St. Paul had said to do, say, you know, I've heard lots of contrary and contradictory, controversial things coming from Rome. And it's not irrelevant to what's going on geopolitically or geo-religiously in the world. Global warming, climate change has been at the front end of this Pope's agenda. He's has an encyclical, which is a papal directive regarding this matter, and that it's allegedly the number one concern for every human being. The issue with that is, and it's very narrative suggests that God Almighty, who created all things that came into being, all the universe, doesn't have control over what he created, and that mankind is the master of his own destiny,
right,
and that we control everything that's going on. And to me, and the Christian perspective has always been, well, that's an insult to God who created us. And while we should be good stewards, we certainly are not going to be the ones who are going to destroy the planet. And then my other concerns, with all respect, where respect is due, global warming, climate change, the olive branches that have been extended from Rome to every denomination, Christian or otherwise, atheists included, where, excuse me, like Andrew had said, traditionalists or those who have been holding on traditional Christian values, walking the, you know, fighting for the right to life And Archbishop Corleone down in San Francisco, who's surrounded by contrary beliefs, which is traditional marriage and the like. This Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio Francis I is coming to Washington September 24th, aligned with the United Nations and President Obama for a global warming climate change. I'm asking the American citizens to pay attention to what you're hearing and witnessing.
You know what? Absolutely. And you know what? I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not Catholic, and so I don't follow the Catholic faith at all. But you know, I'm a man of faith, obviously. And so, anytime we get a chance to have a comment or about certain individuals within churches across the world, I mean, by all means, we'll welcome. That's part of bringing, you know, America's voice here to the 503 Report. And thanks, Darren, for coming in. Really appreciate your point.
All right, Andrew, what do you have for us today, buddy?
Okay, you know what? Look, I mean, here's the deal, folks, and I'm going to say this quite a bit as the summer goes along. I mean, Middle America is tired. Middle America is tired because the political machine, as Will Durant says, triumphs because it is a united minority acting against a divided majority. And now from our favorite book, man, it comes from Psalms 119:105. Thy word is thy lamp unto thy feet and a light unto my path. God bless you, America.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And of course, we always want to thank those men and women who go to work every day, working the toughest beat in the state, performing their duty so that you, our listener, up and down California and across this nation, can be saved.
The 503 Report, heard every Friday right after the news at 12:15 on 1240 KSUE, live at sierradailynews.com. About 20 minutes after the show, you can catch a rebroadcast as well. And grab a cup of coffee, your favorite beverage in the morning, Saturday at 7 before the news, and Sunday before pre-programmed at 7:30. And don't forget about the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Catch our past shows, almost 4 years worth. Don't forget Relay for Life this weekend, Lassen High School, 3 o'clock Saturday to 7 o'clock Sunday morning. Have a great weekend, everybody.